This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Three Americans, the White House says, wrongfully detained in China, now released and soon to return to the U.S. The rare diplomatic deal, part of a three-for-three prisoner trade, according to a senior U.S. official familiar with the swap. ABC's Louis Martinez says it follows months of negotiations.
When we find out about these situations, it's on the schedule that the White House puts on us because they want to ensure that nothing interferes with that transaction, that nothing interferes with that could potentially risk the deal collapsing at the last minute. So that's why the details are kind of kept quiet.
Aides say President Biden also spoke directly with China's leader at the APEC summit. The ceasefire between Israel, Lebanon, and Hezbollah holding so far, residents forced to evacuate during months of the conflict are starting to return to homes in southern Lebanon. Holiday travelers on the move on the eve of Thanksgiving. A peak travel time on roads today. Millions more taking to the skies. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The gun deer season's opening weekend is in the books. With more on how it went, here's Civic Media's Derek Dritz.
Wisconsin's gun deer hunting season opened last Saturday, and the DNR has released preliminary harvest numbers. Hunters registered 89,203 deer statewide during opening weekend. This is a 1.8% decrease from last year, which wasn't a surprise to deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel.
We are down slightly, which was to be expected given the late start of the opener. We see that another year is when the opening date of the gun season is later. It's the further removed from the peak of the breeding season. It's further removed from the peak of daytime deer activity as well. So that kind of played out over the course of the state.
This number is also 4.8% down from the five-year average. Regardless of harvest, hunters stayed safe during opening weekend as there were no firearm-involved hunting accidents reported. Gun deer season ends December 1st, which means there's still time for hunters to turn this season into a success.
You can find out more information at the Wisconsin DNR website. One person is hurt after a school bus crashed into a home in Holman yesterday morning. Holman police said that the bus left the road multiple times before crashing into a home on State Street. One person inside the home was hurt and was taken to the hospital with minor injuries, according to police. No children were on the bus when it crashed. The bus had to be removed from the home, with part of the vehicle visibly inside of the house. The crash is being investigated by police and the Wisconsin State Patrol. Nobody is hurt after a vehicle hit a combine near Viroqua last night. The Viroqua Police Department said a vehicle driven by a 36-year-old Viroqua man ran into the back of a combine driven by a 29-year-old West Salem man. The vehicle lost control and rolled over several times before landing on its roof. The crash happened on Highway 14 around 5:30 on Tuesday. Police said both of the men were checked out by first responders but did not go to the hospital. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks get the win without Giannis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game, the Bucks learned that Giannis Antetokounmpo could not go due to swelling in his left knee. The Bucks still managed to win 106-103 over the Miami Heat. Center Brooke Lopez and how Damian Lillard led the Bucks with 37 points and 12 assists.
Yeah, he was clearly locked in, you know, and it definitely gave everyone something to follow. He was such a great leader out there, and you know, we all played off him.
NFL, the Packers may be shorthanded at linebacker. When they play the Dolphins tomorrow night at Lambeau Field, Isaiah McDuffie and rookie Edgerrin Cooper unable to practice. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley asked, how did linebacker Quay Walker perform Sunday night against the 49ers?
I thought Quay played his best game. I was really proud of him, and it was really cool to see. I think if you ask Quay the week before, I think he would tell you he didn't play his best game. The way he responded and the way he practiced, it was like he was on a mission last week.
That's Packers coach Jeff Hafley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow as scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s.
It's 28 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Dom is not here today.
Where is he?
He took an early Thanksgiving vacation.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, why not, you know? I mean, you got to kind of break yourself into the holiday spirit. I know I did last weekend, and we'll get to that in just a little while. It was not a good experience at all.
Well, save that.
But at the same time, we have tips on how to deal with Thanksgiving that may be a little difficult with other family members that might have voted for Trump.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. I think we should explain to everybody who we are, first of all, filling in for Dom.
Helps, yeah.
It's John and Gordy.
That's
John
right.
Peterson.
I'm John and I'm Gordy.
And I'm Gordy over here. Thank you. We've introduced ourselves now. Yeah. We do the morning show on WMDX in Madison every morning, 6 to 8 a.m., Monday through Friday.
That's right. It's a local show.
Yeah. So we're up kind of late, you know?
Well, this is very late, yeah.
Yeah.
Normally,
been up a long time.
Normally, I'm trying to, you know, maneuver around the coffee IV that I normally hook up in the morning, but now it's just water. What's that all about?
Yeah. We don't need any coffee. Yeah. No. Not now.
Well, we've got a couple of guests lined up today. In just about a half hour or so, we're going to be talking to Busted Pencils.
Tim Slecker.
There you go.
Yes.
And we don't know if Johnny Lupinacci is going to be with him.
Johnny Lupinacci will almost certainly not be with him. We will just have Dr. Tim Slecker.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Johnny's probably out getting ready for another hockey game. I think he does a lot of hockey coaching or refereeing.
Well, actually, at this time, Johnny will be in class.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, in class. Okay.
All right. So we've got Tim Slecker coming up, and then in our next hour.
Very serious about education, that's for sure.
He's an educator. He likes to talk education.
I know. I do love that.
And that's what we're going to talk about, oddly enough.
They say education instead of education.
Yeah.
Education.
And then Jim Santel will join us.
That's
in
right.
Our 5
from Amicus,
hour.
The Law Review. We've got a few questions to ask him about what's happened, what's going on, and where we are going to be led down the path of disaster with Trump not obeying any laws, any rules, or regulations. He's making up his own as he goes along.
Yeah.
So we'll ask. I know Jim is going to be upset again.
Do you think
last
so?
Time we talked to him, he was very angry about everything that was taking place.
That was just a couple of days ago we talked to him.
Yeah.
Well, the Department of Education basically just giving up on the cases against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Just that's it. They're done.
They are done.
Yeah.
They are
so we'll talk to Jim Santel about all that.
But we got to start off with something before we get into anything else. We've got to talk about the tariffs because that was a big topic during the campaign. And everybody tried to explain what tariffs do to the economy and how people, us, every American in the country, will be paying for those tariffs. But, you know, Trump never got the message. He didn't understand it. No one, I guess, is brave enough to explain it to him. I think they're afraid of him.
Mm.
I think that's why they don't want to explain it, because if he doesn't get it, then where do you go with that, you know?
Well, the
president
of Mexico has already objected to it.
Yeah.
And she has said that they will impose tariffs right back at us. And, you know, a lot of people are saying this is just a scare tactic. This is just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. Just throw out the worst possible thing and then back away from that slowly as we get, you know, into his administration.
And we know that's not true.
Yeah.
So he's going to do it.
He's going to do
it. He's going to do it. And we're going to see prices go right through the roof. And I can't wait for the faces, the frowns from the people who voted for him, thinking that, you know, he's just a lot of talk. Mm. He doesn't really mean any of this stuff. Now, let's go to Fox Business. Maria Bartiromo grimaced after she was reminded that Trump did say that tariffs are a beautiful word. Okay. All right.
Hold on just a moment. I'm still pulling files.
All right.
We will stand by.
And the person she was talking to was Representative Eric Burleson. Okay. And he was one of the big Trump supporters out there. And he kind of explained a little bit about the tariff imbalance that has taken place over so many years. Do we have that cut ready? 182?
Almost.
Okay. And by the way, not only is this a crazy idea that that somehow the prices are going to go down when consumers pay more for a product that's imported into this country, but they're now devising a way to soften that blow by saying, you know, we're going to feel a little pain at first, and then everything's going to be much better.
Okay.
But they did run on lowering the prices by half. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to the first cut here. This, again, is Maria Bartiromo, and she's talking to Representative Eric Burleson about the tariffs. Let's see what they have to say.
Congressman, President Trump promised tariffs, and this is how he's starting, even before getting into office. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think he called tariffs a beautiful word, Maria.
Yeah, he did.
But look, you know, I think it's something that is necessary. It's long overdue that we kind of course correct on some of the trade imbalances that we have with other countries. When you look at the fact that that Japan has a 100% tariff on cars that are manufactured in the United States, that after World War II, the United States allowed these countries to institute these tariffs so that they could help rebuild these nations. And I don't know about you, Maria, but that was a long time ago. And these countries have had plenty of time to rebuild. And today we have an imbalance. And I think that it's time that we course correct that. And the way to do that is through tariffs.
Yeah.
So tariffs. A beautiful word.
It is a beautiful word, and it's a course correction, of course. And I'd like to get to a little feature that we have on our morning show. It's Talk Talk. Did we have that intro?
Not yet. Still working on it.
Okay.
Part of the great switchover that has to happen in a Radio Park is between the Maggie Dawn show and the Dom Salvia show. There's a very, very short turnaround There is a very, very short turnaround. We have about 5 minutes to wrap up the Maggie Dawn show and then get started for the Dom Salvia show, which means that the first segment tends to we need to have a little bit of patience on
just
clips.
We should slow down just a little bit, right?
Yeah, let's enjoy the ride here.
Well, in the meantime,
we could give a little background, you know, from where we're from. I'm from Milwaukee originally, and I love the way Dom always defends Milwaukee. I mean, that was just great to hear. Yeah, fiercely. And same here. Mm. You know, I lived on every side of Milwaukee just to see what it was like when I was, renting apartments.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on 76th and Howard, and then 84th in Oklahoma. And then I lived on the east side near the university, and I was born at St. Mary's Hospital.
Wow.
That's it.
Kind of jumped around.
Well,
St. Mary's Hospital, the one that's now...
on North Avenue.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, so changed names,
not
right?
The one that has been pulled down that was on the UWM campus.
Mm. Well, it's close to that. I think it's on the lakefront.
Right.
Yeah, by the tower.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's you.
Well, that's me.
Now, I've been in Wisconsin about 25 years total. I moved away a couple of times. I moved to South Bend, Indiana.
Just weren't happy with Wisconsin.
Lived in Indiana for a while. Lived in Philadelphia for a while. Indianapolis. Bounced around a little bit here at Philadelphia.
I do have your talk ready, by the way.
Okay. What do we?
Well, we can continue. You know, with the tariff information. Now, I use this feature because there's a lot of really smart stuff going on TikTok and on the social media networks where people do their own videos and they do their own explanations and they commit their own rants. And I love those things. And I want to at least play this rant about the tariffs and what they're really about. Let's play it. Let's go to Talk Talk. There we go. All right. So this is just a regular, everyday person telling us what they think about the tariffs.
Okay. Donald Trump's tariff plan is a way to raise money for the federal government. When Donald Trump cuts taxes for the top 5% of income earners, who, by the way, can never spend their money in a lifetime, the federal government goes into a deficit, right? They don't have enough money to run the federal government. So he raises tariffs, which will raise more money. Well, what that does is raises costs for low and middle class income earners who depend on low cost items that we ship in from China and Mexico. So whose costs go up? Low and middle class income earners. And he pitched you on, I'm going to be tough on China and Mexico. No, he is raising the cost on low and middle class income earners, which means the federal government is going to be run on the backs of low and middle class income earners. And it breaks my heart, actually, because the biggest con man in history conned 75 million people. He has to fill the budget. And he just wants to do it on the back of people who are already struggling because he doesn't really care. And his buddies and him, billionaires, should be able to keep their money.
So it's an interesting point of view, isn't it? I mean, you know, when we pay the tax, it's going to be when they import something, the importer pays the tax and that goes straight to the government into their coffers and it starts paying for the tax cuts that we're going to give the billionaires and millionaires. So it's as simple as that. All right, now let's get to the whole. Now, this we have a historical reference here for these tariffs, and let's play it. This is cut 184.
The point here
well,
is
but it's a lot of the
all
supply-
tariffs, though.
Oh, that's my bad. That's 185.
Yep, 184. This is about the Boston
Tea Party.
All right.
The United States of America was founded off the back of a protest on import taxes. The British Parliament wanted to put a 3% tariff, in effect, an import tax on tea. And in Boston, they were so irate about this import tariff being placed on them. They threw the tea into the sea in the harbour and started a revolution. And now we're at the state where the President of the United States wants to impose taxes not just on tea, but on everything else.
Yeah, why aren't we throwing things into the ocean somehow or in the harbor?
It worked in Boston.
I know, it started an entire country. So here we are. You know, we're okay now with taxing and tariffs on everything that comes into this country.
Apparently so.
It's crazy. Now we've got J.D. Vance. A few comments from him about the tariffs. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia. We're coming right back. You can call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Johnny Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia on the Civic Media Radio Network. It feels like we're dancing in the dark when it comes to explaining what tariffs do to this country and how everybody pays for it.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
You can call us. You can chime in. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
That's right. We do have a call from Catherine. Let's take that call right now. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
You're doing, what are you doing on the network?
We've barricaded ourselves in the studio and we're not coming out.
See, you tried to keep us off the network.
I did. I Oshkosh doesn't need to hear from you. Green Bay, they don't need you. Wisconsin Rapids, what are you doing?
Now, come on, Catherine. Dom decided not to show up today, so we needed someone.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So,
I am telling on you. I am not covering for you. I am telling on you. I can't believe you did this.
Now, I know you tried to keep us a secret, but at least we're a secret in Madison.
I didn't want to share you. I didn't want to share you, but I'm really thrilled that you're talking about these tariffs because this is a very, very confusing topic. And I think you're going to be educating the entire state of Wisconsin. Go, 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 guys. I'm so proud of you. Have a blast.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks for giving us a call. And I thought it was interesting. You know, the Boston Tea Party comparison was really an interesting point of view. I think that's what we're looking at here, and no one's complaining about it. What the heck, right?
Well, yes. And I know. Well, we got more on the tariffs, right?
We do. We have J.D. Vance. A few comments from him. This is just crazy stuff.
You know, we haven't heard much from J.D.
No, he's starting to rear his ugly head again, and we're gonna play whatever he has to say this time. You know, believe it or not, the tariffs are really a reaction to fighting slavery in other countries.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. Connect the dots on that one.
Slave labor. We've got to fight that. So we should raise taxes on the Americans who, by the way, voted for Trump in Vance so they could lower prices at least by half. I want to see my grocery bill cut in half. I want to see car prices cut in half. And I also want to see gas prices cut in half. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon if we listen to cut 185 from J.D. Vance.
The point here
all tariffs,
which you seem to be in favor of, they're inflationary.
So how is the Trump-Vance idea here going to help make things more affordable for people if you're putting taxes on goods they're purchasing from overseas?
I don't necessarily buy the premise there, Margaret. If you apply tariffs, really what it is you're saying that we're going to penalize you for using slave labor in China and importing that stuff in the United States. What you end up doing is you end up making more stuff in America, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and in Michigan.
That did not happen in the Trump administration, though.
Well, it actually did happen in the Trump administration, Margaret.
Manufacturing jobs came back?
You did have significant onshoring. But it takes time, Margaret, and that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I think that we need a second term of President Trump is this stuff is not going to happen overnight. The American heartland wasn't destroyed in 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be rebuilt in 4 years, but you really need to double down on this policy of bringing good jobs back to the heartland and, more importantly, making stuff in America. We have to be self-reliant as a country.
That's right. So we should take a little more time, let the prices go up a little bit. It may be like that for a couple of years or so, but what the heck, right? You know, we'll finally get rid of slave labor and we'll all be better off and people will start, you know, moving their country or their companies back to this country. Oh, I can't wait for all those dreams to take place. Okay. All right. He made another comment and it just kind of reaffirms what we just heard. And this is cut 186. Let's
pull where it. You have to do what woke corporations want you to do to be able to live a decent life in this country. That's not freedom. And so we have to choose. Do we want freedom? Do we want an American way of life? Or do we want short-term satisfaction for every little thing? I think we're increasingly in a situation where we're going to have to choose between one or the other. We're going to have to get a little uncomfortable on some of these things. Or maybe you're going to have to be willing to pay a little bit more for certain consumer goods. We may even have to be willing to attack some of the companies financially that are waging war on the American people.
What?
That's tough.
What is that?
But I don't see any other way out of this except for through it.
Oh, yeah, I see a way out of it. Cutting prices in half. That's what we were promised. That's what a lot of people voted for. I did not vote for you for that particular reason. I knew it was, you know, gaslighting.
Well, the tariffs also, the ones that Trump just announced against Mexico and Canada, along with China.
Yeah.
You know, this blows up the whole deal that he put together.
Right.
With the first time that he was president, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And now he wants to throw that out, put more tariffs on, and threatening them anyway. We'll see if they actually happen.
Well, the fun part of this is that we have not really heard anything from Canada yet.
Right.
What are they thinking, right? I mean, the last time this happened, we had a trade war over lumber.
Right.
And housing prices went up.
Skyrocketed.
Construction stopped, almost a standstill. Mm-hmm. We had dairy wars between Canada and the U.S., mostly Wisconsin, of course. Mm-hmm. And it got ugly. Very definitely got. Oh, let's go to Andrew.
Yeah, can we squeeze this phone call in,
let's
Andrew?
Try.
Go ahead with your comments.
Sure, go ahead, Andrew.
Hey guys, you got a good show going on. I hope you can help explain that this is actually a punishment on the American citizens who choose to buy things from the countries that are being tariffed. Mm-hmm. For example, if we want avocados from Mexico, we're going to pay 25% more. This really doesn't hurt Mexico because the only thing that will happen to them, they'll have fewer sales until the stupid people in this country figure out we don't buy 25% more avocados to satisfy Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Can
this,
you
this 20...
explain that better for me?
No. The whole point is that, you know, we pay the higher price importing that stuff into this country. It goes straight into the government coffers, and it helps prop up the government and pay for services that the government provides while we give tax cuts to the wealthy, and the Trump tax cuts part two will be taking place as well. And I think they're even going to lower the corporate tax by 1%. I believe that's on the schedule.
That's
so anyway,
plan. Yeah. Andrew, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you. In just a few moments, we'll be talking to Busted Pencils, Tim Slacker.
Yeah, that's coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia. Stay with us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The gun deer season's opening weekend is in the books. With more on how things were different across the state, here's Civic Media's Derek Dritz.
Wisconsin's gun deer hunting season opened last Saturday, and the DNR has released preliminary harvest numbers. Hunters registered 89,203 deer statewide during opening weekend. This is a 1.8% decrease from last year. However, this statewide decrease doesn't mean each county was behind last year's figures. Deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel expressed how being a deer program specialist doesn't guarantee you a harvest.
I can struggle too. I have yet to see a deer. I hunted in Vilas County opening weekend, and I was in that camp of folks that just were not benefiting from any deer movement, apparently. And I spoke to another Vilas County hunter that had his deer in the 17 years he's been hunting up there. And I spoke to another one that said it was the worst year that they've had up there. And so just an example of the variation, but I can empathize with those hunters that haven't had a chance to see a deer yet. And the season's young, and there's more opportunities waiting for me, I'm sure.
You can find out more information at the Wisconsin DNR website. After Thanksgiving is the start of the holiday shopping season. Many Wisconsin cities take part in Small Business Saturday. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
We all know what Black Friday is for shopping, but now more than ever, small businesses need local support. Saturday, November 30th, is Small Business Saturday. Founded in 2010, Small Business Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, has quickly become an important part of small businesses' busiest shopping season. In 2023, the reported projected spending in the U.S. from those who shopped at small businesses on Small Business Saturday was around $17 billion.
You can visit your local Chamber of Commerce website for more information on where to shop in your area. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow as scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s. Currently it's 26.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Johnny Gordy filling in for Don Selvia, who took a little extra time off for Thanksgiving.
He deserves it.
And we're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, we thank Dom for letting us fill in here for today. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The Deer Hunters Roundup, though. I want to talk about this because there are a lot of deer hunters out there. And some of them are listening, you know, even right now, probably sitting there getting ready to do the hunt.
We have Tim Slecker on the line from Busted Pencil. Have you listened to this program, the Deer Hunters?
No, I haven't listened to the Deer Hunters Roundup, but I, you know what? I will be here in where I'm at in Ohio on Monday going out, and I appreciate the Deer Hunters.
Well, you can get on the Civic Media app and listen to it on the podcast.
Okay.
Just go to civicmedia.us. But this has been going on for 50 years.
50 years.
Oh.
This show.
Yeah.
They do it for 9 days in a row in the evening. They share stories from all the deer hunters that are out there, and they all have goofy names for their deer stands.
Yeah. When you hear about their deer stands,
it's hilarious.
It is just hilarious. There's a lot of sexual innuendo. Okay. And I just want to warn you that that's the best part of the program.
PG-13, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I just remember, you know, you always got to make sure that you put enough toilet paper in a few pockets.
That's right.
That's the way to go. All right.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the topics that you're covering on your podcast, which everybody can hear at our Civic Media website.
Busted Pencils every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then Saturday you have the show as well.
Saturday, 3 o'clock, across all the Civic Media apps and stations, 3 o'clock.
All right. Well, let's talk about choice. You know that Trump ran on choice. He wanted to take it across the entire country, not just state by state, but across the entire country. And, of course, people voted for Trump, but they didn't vote when it was on their local ballots. They didn't vote for choice.
Yes. So,
tell us about your guest, David Pepper.
Oh, my. We had a guest, David Pepper, very active in Ohio politics, Democratic supervisor or chair of the, but he just did this, observation that in Kentucky, right down over the border from where he is in Cincinnati, that, across the state where they put vouchers up on a ballot all across Kentucky, it lost. It just lost. People chose, in fact, the choice between public schools or private money going to private school or public money going to private schools, nonstop all the way across Kentucky, the voters said, no, we love our public schools. We do not want public money going to private schools. But at the same time, they voted to elect President Donald Trump. David goes down to Kentucky, goes to the county that absolutely had the overwhelming majority, 80-20 of them, 80% of the voters voted in favor of Trump to be president. Mm-hmm. That same group of voters, 74% of them voted in favor of their public schools, or in other words, they voted down private school vouchers. And so there's an interesting kind of phenomena there that's going on. Johnny and I, we've been talking about this for years on Busted Pencil, saying that I'm telling you, a winning game is to always get behind your public schools.
Absolutely.
Now, what is the story, though, going on here that's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
Because the reality is if you've been paying attention to President Trump's language, as you said, Project 2025, there's a direct massive attack, a dismantling type of attitude. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. He wants to create a national voucher for people to take that money and go to private schools. And that's been forward, but yet in the same place. So how do you vote for President Trump and then vote in favor of your public schools or vote down vouchers when you know he's bringing forward vouchers? Johnny pointed out a really interesting potential way of understanding this is that actually, though, too, when you really listen to President Trump about when he wants to do away with the Department of Education, he then follows that up with, we want to move it back to the states and the local areas so that they can make the decisions. Right. And so is that the message that the voters heard in that they were saying, hey, this is our right. This is our local decision. We get to make this decision. And so therefore, they didn't hear the disconnect of President-elect Trump's national ambitions to actually do away with all public schools by putting forth a national private voucher. It's an interesting phenomenon.
It is. And another part of that is moving some of the departments in the Department of Education to other branches of the government in order to handle some of the duties that they already have. And one of the scariest ones, I think, and I can't find the article that I read it in, but they want to take the student loan and grant program, give it to the Treasury, and then the Treasury has the discretion of either doling out the money to a state based on whether they agree with the state's politicians or their education or whatever they're doing in the state. It's discretionary, and that would affect every student in that state.
Yeah. It's
bizarre.
It's really bizarre, but I was thinking about this today at some point, you know, in between cutting turkey pieces and, you know, potatoes and everything, because I, you know, Jess
making
knows
three we're, different kinds make, of mashed making, potatoes. For
I've got vegans, vegetarians, and meat eaters all for tomorrow. So let me tell you,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. But to think about that though is that the idea that my local neighbor really wants to vote in favor of their public school, and they hear that message of saying, you know what, we want the decision making to, quote, go down to the states, go down to the local. That, I think, is almost in one way is really cute thinking, but it assumes, though, that your local and or state representatives have your local community public schools' best interests at heart. Right. And that is where, really, when you look at, particularly here in Ohio, where I'm at, I mean, they have voted across all the rural Republican held areas in Ohio, they have voted in favor of a statewide voucher. So the reality here is that dropping it to the states, that really doesn't do anything to protect your public school. And so this idea of local control, I think that that's actually one way of selling people a bunch of BS is that we're going to give it back to the local control. When the reality is they know darn well that even at local control, the idea of vouchers and private school vouchers, that those are actually being held very strongly by the elected, typically Republicans in all of those areas, whether they be state and or local politicians, they're in favor of vouchers. So the reality is that how do you get the community members voting 74% of them in favor of their schools? How do we enlist them in a movement to really recognize and understand, we know how much you love your public schools. We know how much you love working with the teachers. We know how you see each and every person as a neighbor and a community member. The reality is here, though, is that being turned back to the states, do you have the state representatives that are going to stand up and support your local public schools? Because if not, we need to move people in that direction. This is where the Democrats, who, of course, are absolutely awesome at learning how and being awesome at losing, they, of course, will not hear that, hey, guess what? If you stand up in favor of public schools, it's a winning issue. Instead, they'll come around and say, yeah, we need to increase, you know, we need to decrease the achievement gap. We need better tests. We need, and they'll be a Democrat and they'll lose. But anyway, so that's a whole bunch.
Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm sure Linda McMahon's going to straighten all this out.
As soon
as she walks in the Department of Education.
As soon as she walks into the ring, I mean classroom.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Right?
She's even teamed up with, who is it, Moms for Liberty.
Moms for Liberty, which again was one of the potential Secretary of Education nominees, was the president of for Liberty. Yeah, I mean, there was a whole lineup of horrendous people. The potential that, you know, we got Linda McMahon. I don't know. You know, is she going to do a suplex? The reality, though, is she's a businesswoman, and she is really looking at this, I think, again, from the standpoint of consolidating. This is weird because they want federal, they create a story of letting go of federal control. But John, as you even point out, the policies, though, that they're going to put forward about you getting the state block monies is in one example, is that you must conform, though, to what they actually want before you get that money. So I'm not exactly sure how that's actually letting go of federal control, because the reality is that they are going to say you still will not get this money in the form of a block grant unless you are teaching some Christian patriotism, darn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, and boy, they want to go with that Christian patriotism. That's for sure. At least the Defense Department nominee, he wants to create a Christian army.
Yes,
and it's a secret thing that he told everybody about.
Pete Hegseth.
Pete Hegseth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. He calls it. Let me see. The classical Christian schools boot camps. That's what he's calling it, and it's going to go underground. And then the first step, of course, is choice nationwide.
Right.
And then after that, then they unleash the boot camp trainees.
It can sound ridiculous and funny, and in one way it is, but at the same time, you know, the state of Texas this week literally put in place that the K-8 curriculum will be laced with Bible, Christian Bible, the New Testament, that will be part of the curriculum elementary school kids in the state of Texas. You know, and so this whole push for some form of Christian nationalism and what they're calling patriotism, I'm sorry, we keep putting this forward. I'm like, I thought these were the people who were against indoctrination.
Just other people's indoctrination, Tim.
I mean, this is fully in your face indoctrination like you have never seen before. We want you to be Christian, we want you to be patriots, you know, and the fact is that the only patriotism we really value is 1776 types of, you know, Boston Tea Party types of people, Lexington, Concord, and again, you know, if they really understood the true history there, they'd see that most of these are, again, some form of rebellion as opposed to some form of patriotism. It's a mess. I don't know, though. Thinking about this, though, kind of going back to the bottom line fact here, is that guess what? Given the opportunity to vote in favor or against your public schools, our neighbors all across this country continue to say, we love our community public schools. We are not going to vote against them. That is a powerful message for any one politician or group of a political party to understand what's going on there.
But they're still pursuing it. That's the part that I can't wrap my head around. They still want it, and they're pushing it really hard in every state. And yet, everybody's voting against that possibility of happening in their state.
Exactly. And what they're doing here in Ohio, which is one of the ways, and this is where David Pepper has really helped me understand this, there is no vote for vouchers in the state of Ohio by the people who actually go to public schools. It has been taken out as of the opportunity for local voters to vote, and the legislature has in and of itself created the rules and said that Ohio is going to be a choice state, regardless of what my neighbors here think about their local public school. There is no voting of the public in favor of their public schools.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I want to talk about the University of Oklahoma and the governor's anger over something that even Johnny taught at one time, right?
Right.
So we'll get to that in a moment.
And we'll continue to take your calls and text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. It's the Don Salvia Show with John and Gordy filling in. We're coming right back. On the bet we made, let's decide to be the architects, the masters of our fate. We still believe in all the things that we stood by before, and now doing everything we've seen here, maybe even more. And I know we're not the only ones, but we were not the first.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He's really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is John and Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia. Left a little early for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's all right.
Yeah. And we're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our Busted Pencils guest, Tim Slecker, is on the line right now. And we're talking to him about education and the possibility of things going absolutely wrong once Trump takes the podium. We're really in trouble with this guy. You never know what to expect exactly from any of this. And, you know, a lot of this is based on threats and scare tactics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then if that's the easiest way. And there is a lot of fear out there. Again, whether it's coming from Trump or any of the people that support him, you say now, too, there are some MAGA governors out there right now doing their fair share of scaring the crap out of people. You know, is it governor of Oklahoma decided to put forth a kind of you will not decree to college professors? You were, you know, talking about that in the break. Yeah. And we covered that in the our podcast, too, this week. It's, you know, education in American society. It's a course that every beginning teacher takes. It's learning about what does it mean to have a public school system, the history of public education, the challenges, the economics associated with it. And yeah, guess what? There is a portion of that class where you talk about the ethnic diversity of the students that you're going to teach. And some of the facts that come out is that public school teachers teach diverse populations of students, and some of that diversity is worth considering when you're teaching. The governor of Oklahoma has said that course, no more. We're not going to be putting that forward in the state of Oklahoma. And as Johnny pointed out, he's been teaching that course for 18 years. And actually, too, I taught it, and I even pointed out I had a form of that course in 1985, my freshman year college. I mean, this is this type of course because it really points out the reality. What we said, the truth. The truth is that if you're a public school teacher in America, you are going to be taking your place amongst a group of children, families, communities, of which there is this vision, a promise that says all kids are welcome. All families are welcome. You're guaranteed to get the best education you can. And the reality of that student body then is that it's a diversity makeup of that community. And the reality is that we as teachers should get to know and understand who our students are, who their families are, and what are some of the histories involved in the challenges that, guess what, certain groups of people in America have had challenges to get the education that they are entitled to.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about in this course, where the governor of Oklahoma doesn't want this course to be taught anymore.
That sounds really destructive, actually. And it's something that you learn, that you know about, and you practice it in your class, but it doesn't come out in a way that you're, you know, actually espousing anything, but you're using it mentally in order to, you know, help guide these students through life, through their class. Right?
Well, I said, you know, this is truly the attack on truth. This is an attack on history. And again, back to what we said, who is it that's really all about indoctrination? Because it is this group, the MAGA group, are the indoctrinators of the day right now. The reality that they truly are saying it's against the law to teach the truth to future teachers. And if you're an institution associated with the state and we find out you're teaching truth, you're going to be in trouble. Seriously, we have made it point forward. The truth is now something that gets you in trouble.
That's right.
And now, Jess, jump in here, because I believe you used to be a teacher. Or are you still?
I still am a teacher. I teach supplemental education. So I teach a Jewish religious school every Sunday. This is my fifth year doing so. I primarily teach seventh graders in the B'nai Mitzvah year. So this is the year when they are becoming bar or bat mitzvah. They are learning what it means to be a Jewish spiritual adult, an adult member of our congregation. And yeah, I also teach Hebrew.
All right. You know, this school choice can, I guess, pay for a lot of religious teaching as well, now that we've...
It can, but it shouldn't.
Right, exactly.
It absolutely shouldn't. Public funds should go to public schools.
Right.
Exactly. It's public funds, and it's truly said, you know, you'll hear people say, well, there is no church separation of church and state in the Constitution. No, but there, that language has been, you know, kind of came out of the reality of what it says, is that though this country will not mandate a state organized religion that you all or as the people have to practice freedom of religion, institutions then supported by the government should not, and in fact, it is unconstitutional for them to espouse a religious doctrine that you have to adhere to be able to get the benefits of being a citizen or being a taxpayer. This is what we're talking about in choice money here. So the reality is that it's not your choice money. This is state tax money that was allocated to educate the people, not to add, not to indoctrinate people to be Christian nationalists.
Tim Slacker from Busted Pencils, thanks for being our guest today. Okay.
All right. Hey. Got to leave it there. You can check out their podcast. They drop a new one Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays,
right,
and also Saturdays. They're live on the Civic Media Radio Network at 3 o'clock, right?
Yep. And as we say, any way you want it, that's the way you get it.
Got it.
It's John and Gordy in for Dom Salvio. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim Santel coming up.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.